WGXC 90.7 FM with me. Till we speak again, God bless you.
I'm Tom Hoos from Earlton, New York, and I'm listening to WGXC Acra, New York.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. This morning, we will hear reports about the week's biggest stories and how coronavirus numbers continue to go up, up, and also up locally in schools, businesses, at election sites, in town buildings, which are now being closed. Also hear an interview and a short performance from local musician Joan Kelsey. Brand new music out today from William Basinski, Negative Land, and others. National headlines from the Public News Service and the local better weather from the Catskill Makers Syndicate. And all the local news and more. Stay tuned for the WGXC Morning Show next.
Connection and the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
Turns to blood.
This is the network.
Runs through.
This is the news.
This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
The Radio Witch Moon Hotline is a recurring broadcast series created by Jess Spear, Wavefarm's 2020-2021 Radio Artist Fellow. Spear writes, quote, "We are constantly surrounded by waves, vibrations, transmissions, traveling invisibly through and around us and carrying messages, information, 24-hour news feeds, talk shows, rock shows, data streams, conspiracy theories, sad songs, bad songs, operating systems, all of them whizzing around us. How many bummer vibes have passed through your home today, even without being picked up by a receiver? This is your chance to participate in a counterspell and leave good vibes. Call in at 518-302-6067 to be part of the Radio Witch Moon Hotline broadcast at 3:30 p.m. November 15th at WGXC. Again, that number is 518-302-6067. Call in with your good vibes and hear them on the radio 3:30 p.m. November 15th at WGXC.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Marcus DeGrazia Acupuncture of Austerlitz, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org. and click donate. Thank you for your support.
This is Tom Rowe with the WGXC News Update. Go to the WGXC Newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. The local number of COVID-19 cases continues to rise. On November 13th, Rensselaer County announced a daily coronavirus record with 32 new cases. There were 10 new COVID-19 cases announced November 13th in Columbia County and 5 more in Greene County. Columbia County Department of Health officials warned residents November 13th that anyone who attended a funeral at the Sacco Funeral Home in Greenport on November 9th should monitor their health, as someone at the funeral tested positive for coronavirus. Albany County announced another new record November 14th, with 147 new coronavirus cases, their highest since the start of the pandemic. Albany County issued a plea November 13th for volunteers to assist coronavirus response as local health department staff are, quote, taxed at their limits, unquote. Albany County is looking for any health care professionals to join the county's Medical Reserves Corps to help during this public health emergency. Albany County officials are also distributing protective gear to Albany restaurants to lower the record number of cases there. And officials in Pittsfield in Massachusetts are suspending dining at all restaurants starting November 13th. Takeout and delivery can continue. So COVID-19 case numbers are spiraling out of control, and officials are taking few steps to slow the spread. And the only hope is a vaccine that is said to be coming soon. But on November 13th, President Donald Trump said that the vaccine that is almost ready to ship won't go to New York. Governor Andrew Cuomo and Trump went back and forth on national television on November 13th on the issue.
As soon as April, the vaccine will be available to the entire general population, with the exception of places like New York State, where for political reasons, the governor decided to say, and you know, I don't think it's good politically. I think it's very bad from a health standpoint, but he wants to take his time with the vaccine.
None of what he said is true. Surprise, surprise. We're all excited about the possibilities about a vaccine. It's not that people don't trust the vaccine companies, the pharmaceutical companies. Pfizer is a great New York company. Regeneron is a great New York company. But an overwhelming percentage of Americans are worried about political interference in the vaccination process, in the approval process by the president. The American people trust the drug company more than they trust the president. Kaiser poll said 60% of Americans are worried that the approval was political. Pew poll said about 50% of Americans are worried that the approval is political. So a number of states, New York included, to try to build credibility so the people will actually accept the vaccine, put together their own scientific review panels. Ours is headed by a Nobel Prize laureate who will review the FDA process so we can say to people, it is safe, you should take the vaccine.
Amelia Teasdale is reporting for the Columbia paper that the Ichabod Crane Board of Education met in person and online November 3rd. Superintendent Suzanne Guntlow reported that 65 of the students who in the fall requested all remote instruction have now asked to attend class in person. 28 students have asked to switch to fully remote instruction. Guntlow also said that district enrollment overall has decreased since last year and is on the lower side of what was predicted in an enrollment study previously conducted by Ichabod Crane. She said the increase of homeschooled students living in the district, not to be confused with fully remote learning, is consistent with similar increases in other districts. And the board heard a presentation from the Director of Information Technology, Paul Caputo. He reported all primary school students in need of an electronic device to work from home now have them. Caputo also said intrusion detection programs have shut down three attacks on the district's computer system. Quote, I feel confident in our system, unquote, he told the board. Caputo also said they are putting funding in the budget next year for more Chromebook laptops. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper. Rick Moriarty is reporting at Syracuse.com that New York State license plates with peeling numbers may present a challenge for the state thruway's new cashless tolling system. Peeling license plates have been a problem in New York for several years. The problem got so bad, the state last year decided not to renew a contract with 3M for the reflective sheeting, laminate adhesive, and coating applied to the plates. But plenty of the peeling plates remain in use. But the Thruway Authority said its system has redundancies built in for vehicles without EasyPass. Sophisticated equipment will take numerous high-definition photos from different angles of the front and rear plates of all vehicles passing under the gantries. If needed, the images can be further analyzed and enhanced to better see the plate. Quote, motorists should be fully aware of their responsibility to have clean and visible plates, and the New York State Police will enforce these vehicle traffic laws, unquote, a Thruway Authority spokesperson said. The Department of Motor Vehicles will replace at no cost license plates that are peeling. Read more about this story at Syracuse.com. And Bill Williams is reporting for Columbia Green Media that the Columbia Green Humane Society has experienced a sharp increase in the number of people surrendering their pets recently. President and CEO Ron Perez said November 12th, many of the animals are being surrendered to the shelter because their owners have lost their jobs or are being evicted from their homes, he said. The shelter is currently waiving its surrender fees for the unemployed. Quote, we understand that for some people, surrendering their pet is a difficult and emotional decision. Often financial difficulties in the family seem to make matters even worse, unquote, he said. quote, waiving our surrender fees will hopefully make these decisions less stressful for families, unquote. The organization receives surrenders by appointment only. Those appointments can be made by calling 518-828-6044 or writing to info@cghs.org. For pet owners who might need some help to keep their animal, the shelter's free pet food bank is open 7 days a week from 11:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. with no appointment required. The pet food bank allows those facing financial challenges to get their pet food at the shelter free of charge. The shelter is located on the Humane Society Road in Claverick. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts showers on Sunday, mainly after 3 p.m., with a high of 45 and a low Sunday night of 36, with more showers and thunderstorms possible. Monday should be mostly sunny with a high of 44 and a low around 30. And then Tuesday, a 20% chance of rain returns, possibly snow in the morning, with a high near 40 and a low around 22. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears.
Follow WGXC on Facebook or Twitter. There will be constant updates of on-air interviews, community news, weather warnings, and more at twitter.com/WGXC. And those WGXC Twitter messages also go to facebook.com/WGXC radio. Tune in to WGXC on 90.7 and at the web at WGXC.org. WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Brendan Donegan of Hudson, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Who is community radio for?
It's for people.
You mean it's for the people?
What's the difference between people and the people?
People you see on the street are people. You can see them. You can't see the people. There's too many to see.
You can't see anything on the radio anyway.
That's what's great about radio. There's nothing to see.
That means you can drive at the same time you listen to the radio.
Do you think it's safe to operate a motor vehicle while listening to WGXC?
Is it safe to use power tools while listening to WGXC?
90.7 FM. WGXC.
I can't stand the rain against my window, bringing back sweet memories. Yeah, window pane, do you remember how sweet it used to be?
Got Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a student at Columbia Green Community College, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Nico. I am from Brooklyn, and I'm homeschooling this year.
I am Lena, and I am also from Hudson. Yay!
Woo, woo, woo! And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate,
bookish things.
And that's what we're going to do today. Hooray.
Yay.
Yay.
I know. What if one day we just didn't talk, we refused to talk about books? Could happen.
Interesting.
I feel like that'd be difficult.
Like, this show is now called Bound by Snacks. And we all talk about our favorite
bread.
Snacks.
Bread.
But no, we're going to talk about books. We can talk about snacks another day. But yeah.
Okay.
Who wants to get us started? How about...
I guess I could start.
Yeah. Great.
So I'm going to be reading The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn in American Literature, which sounds like it's going to be fun and interesting. So that should be cool. And, well, I don't know. I haven't had a lot of time to read between, like, school and everything. I have a list of books I'm already making for, like, Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
It seems a little early for Christmas.
I don't know. Some people turn on Christmas as soon as Halloween's over. They, like, skip right over Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I like to let Thanksgiving have its time. Mm-hmm. There's this one book I want, which is called The Secret Language of Birthdays by Gary Goldschneider and Juice Elfers, which talks about birthdays and, like, how the stars and planets looked on the day you were born, or in what the month you were born might have in significance to you. It's all a bunch of, like, astrology style stuff and personality profile things, but it sounds very cool.
Yeah, I remember looking at those when I was, I think, in high school. That's when I first found that book and finding it really fascinating and loving to, like, look up people's birthdays, read what it said about them, and try to figure out how accurate it was.
Mm-hmm.
But fun fact, I hope you really liked the book, but The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn was one of the few books that I read in my life that I just, like, really did not enjoy. But I think it was partly, it was in high school, and I think part of it was about the speed at which we were reading it and perhaps the particular time in which we were reading it. Because I know plenty of people love that book. And I don't know, I just couldn't get into it at the time. It was the one time in my life that I've used a Cliff Notes to help me with my homework. But I did a lot of research. So what I did was I would read the Cliff Notes so I could follow along with what, figure out what happened. And then we had to write these, like, journal entries for, I don't know if it was by chapter or how, or if it was by section. And so I would read the Cliff Notes and then decide what I wanted to write my journal entry on. And then I would go back to the text and, like, read the parts that I needed to read to write my journal entries. So I actually ended up reading a good deal of the book anyways, but I don't know. That's the one time I ever used one of those.
Mm.
But hopefully you'll enjoy it more in a college course as opposed to my high school course.
Yeah.
I know people love Mark Twain. Someday I should give him another chance, read something else.
Yeah. I think anything is going to be better than Walden by Thoreau, so.
I hope so. So, Nico, how about you? What book did you want to talk about?
I wanted to talk about a book. It's more like a project book, and it is called Mason Jar Science, and all of the experiments in here involve mason jars. So some of my favorites are the wide world of slimes. It's like you can make goo and slime and, like, dough, and that one's cool. And then there's, like, it's called a jararanium. And it's like you plant some seeds inside the jar and then they grow, and it's like a little thing, like a little display that you can put in different places. Sounds then good. There's cornstarch quicksand, which is quicksand made out of cornstarch.
And
then there's a balloon. About what?
I'm curious how well the quicksand works.
Like,
do you put a toy in it and watch it?
Oh. No, you put your hand in it. Because it's in, like, either a mason jar or a container. Mm-hmm. And, well, you mix up the stuff in a mason jar, so it'd probably be in, like, a wide, like, container where you put your hand in. It sinks. And there's a balloon barometer, which, like, predicts the weather according, like, to... Well, this is a description under it. Here's a fact that might make your eyes bug out. The weight of all the air that's stacked above you puts 14.7 pounds of pressure on every square inch of your body. We don't notice the air pressure except when we travel to higher places where the pressure is lower. When we ride in elevators or, say, fly in airplanes and feel the change in airs. So it's like the air pressure building up to, like, kind of predict the weather.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. That one's one of my favorites.
Yeah, I had fun this summer. Every once in a while, I would, like, accidentally break off a piece of a plant, like either a flower before it had bloomed or a piece of a tomato plant. And if you just, like, stick the end of it in a jar with some water, you can, like, grow some more. So I had a sprig of a tomato plant that I put in, and then it grew all these little cherry tomatoes that I could eat. And then I had a piece of a zinnia that was just like a little bulb, and it put it in a jar in the window, and it bloomed. It wasn't like as vibrant as one that was in the yard, but it bloomed for a really long time. So that was fun. That sounds really cool. I want to make some quicksand.
I had a bunch of those little, like, experiment books. I loved those. I think I like to, because back when I had long hair, I liked to rub balloons against my head and have my hair just poof out. I think that's the only thing I ever did with them, but it was still very fun.
That is very fun. How about you, Lena? Did you have a book you wanted to share?
Yes, this one is one that we're reading in class. It's called Esperanza Rising. And so I'm just going to read the back for you. Riches to rags. Esperanza believed her life would be wonderful forever. She would always live on her family's ranch in Mexico. She would always have fancy dresses and a beautiful home filled with servants. Papa and Abuela would always be with her. But a sudden tragedy shatters her world and forces Esperanza and Mama to flee to California, where they settle in a camp for Mexican farm workers. Esperanza isn't ready for the hard labor, financial struggles brought on by the Great Depression and lack of acceptance she now faces. When Mama gets sick and the strike for better working conditions threatens to uproot their new life, Esperanza must find a new way to rise above her difficult circumstances because Mama's life and her own depend on it.
That sounds really, really good.
Yeah, but, like, I kind of wish, like, I could go ahead more. Because, like, so far, to me, I kind of find it pretty boring so far.
I understand what you mean. I've had that happen to me before with a Nancy Drew mystery. They were just looking for someone, and they just kept looking for that person and looking for that person. I was just so bored. I was like, hurry up and find her.
Yeah, but, like, I guess if it does get interesting, I'm pretty sure it, like, gets interesting in, like, the middle or the end. But, like, it probably just starts out slow.
Probably.
And if it still doesn't appeal to me, either it's probably just because of the storyline, because I'm not used to realistic fiction kind of stuff. Because, like, I like fantasy and that kind of stuff.
Me too. But, well, only a couple of books that I like are realistic fiction.
Yeah.
I prefer more fantasy-based genres as well.
Yeah.
I like it as well.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure most of us like fantasy more than the real world and life.
Exactly.
Yes.
Well, I hope you enjoy reading that book. I know you're struggling with it a little bit. Enjoying it, that is.
Yeah.
It gets better for you.
Yeah, but it's probably just because we actually have to communicate with my other, well, I have to communicate with my other fellow classmates, and I honestly don't like communicating with them.
Oh, so is this a school-assigned book?
Yes, it was a school-assigned book. And yeah, because if it wasn't, I would probably not be reading this.
That's a mood. I can understand that.
Yes. But, like, I can't just, like, do what Emily did with, like, her flip note thing, because we have to actually take tests in person, because, like, I go to class in person, and we have to, like, take tests, like, oh, what did Esperanza do in this chapter? And, like, I don't think you could get away with, haha, I just used flip note thing that Emily used.
Which I used once, and I don't suggest.
I don't know if I ever told you guys the story. I probably have, because it's a story I tell a lot. But a lot of my friends know that I hate the Percy Jackson book series. And the reason I hate it so much is because I read the first one as an assigned book. And maybe that would have been fine. Maybe I could have been normal and loved the books like everyone else seems to. But they would assign us vocab quizzes. And you'd have to go through the chapter and find all the vocabulary words. Except they, on multiple occasions, messed up and gave us vocab words that weren't in the chapter that was assigned. Like, it would be in the very next chapter, so we would spend hours each night looking for a vocab word in chapter 9, when it wasn't even, like, chapter 9, it was in chapter 10. I hated it.
Oh,
at least absolutely awful. I hate those books now.
Oh my god, I feel so bad for you, but that doesn't happen with me. It's probably just because, like, there are, like, oddly specific students, like, because sometimes we share our answers with each other, and I'm over here, like, crying, like, oh my god, I just gave a really simple answer to the question. I'm probably going to fail. And, like, I'm probably the first one to finish, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm just going to add on. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, everyone says the Percy Jackson movies are very bad because they aren't faithful to the book. Well, I think both of them are bad. I think both of them are mediocre, so I can agree and disagree.
Oh, well, I just feel bad for you because you would have to spend hours probably, like, looking in those books while I'm over here just, like, but, like, the problem with it, with my case is probably that, like, it's probably just because, like, I would read it, and then, like, there would be something that I don't think is in the chapter. And, like, people would throw me off with what they say. And then I would get really confused.
So I have a funny story about that. A long time ago, it was probably only a couple years ago, I read Of Mice and Men for school, something that you'll probably have to read eventually one day. But I hate it when books write accents. Like, when they put all the, like, little apostrophes, like, above the words in places of, like, letters that should be there, so that, like, it has, like, it sounds like they're speaking with, like, a southern accent. They did that a ton. They did that a ton in Of Mice and Men, and there was a quiz question, I remember, that asked, what did Curly's wife want to be? She wanted to be an actress. That was her deal. She wanted to be an actress. Except the way they said this was in the chapter, she says something along the lines of, I could have been in pictures someday. But they spell pictures as pitchers, as in what you use to carry water. And I had no idea what that meant. So I got the question wrong. They could have just written pictures, like its pictures are supposed to be written. But they didn't, and I was confused, and I got that quiz question wrong, and it made me really mad.
Oh my god, I feel so bad for you. Like,
why did you have to write it with like a like with an accent? Like
no, I didn't have to write it with an accent. I just didn't know what she was saying.
Yeah, but like
she said, I could have been in pictures someday, and I thought she was referring to the thing you used to carry drinks. So I didn't know what that meant.
Oh,
so I just made up a random answer that wasn't right.
Oh my god, I still feel so bad for you because like you didn't understand what she was saying, and then they were over here like, huh, I have an idea. Let's just write pictures, like, you know, the thing that you like pour drinks from. But like sometimes I would be super confused because they would write something in Spanish and I'm not very good with reading in Spanish or speaking it. And they would just like write another sentence and my teacher would be like, oh, they translate it in the next sentence. And I'm like, I hope that like what they wrote here, like in a one sentence, they say like the Balancros, I think is how you pronounce it. I don't think it's how you pronounce it. And like it put something random, like the workers or something like that. I can't remember. And then I was like, I really hope it says that word, because then I'm probably going to get the quiz question wrong if it doesn't say that.
Yeah, quizzes are weird sometimes.
Yeah.
One thing I figured out with books that have that writing where they make the writing look like how it sounds, I also have trouble reading that. And even sometimes with fantasy books, when there's just like so many made up names that I don't really know how to pronounce, I find that audiobooks are really helpful because it's easier to hear the words as like what the meaning is than it is to try to decode them visually. So I've had that help in some circumstances with books. But the book that I wanted to talk about this week, I had no trouble with that. I read a book that's written for adults, but I think it is appropriate for at least teens and probably for, I mean, there's some language that people might object to, but aside from that, I think it would be fine for younger readers too. But it is called Solutions and Other Problems by Ali Brosh. And it is the follow-up book to her 2013 book that was called Hyperbole and a Half, Unfortunate Situations, Flawed Coping Mechanisms, Mayhem, and Other Things That Happened. And so for people that were big fans of that book, it's been about a 7-year wait for a new book from her. But for me, I didn't actually get around to reading that book until December. So for me, it was a very short wait. So yay for reading a book way past release date. But it is a book of sort of short stories or essays about various things in her life. It jumps like all over time from like when she was a kid to when she's an adult to like more recent. Yeah, so to more recent times as well. And it's sort of a mix of like autobiography and graphic novel and essay book. But it's not a graphic novel in the sense that it doesn't just work within panels. It also has like writing and just straight on images. And I'll show you some examples of the art just so you have a sense of what it looks like. They're like very like kind of goofy looking.
I've seen this person's work before. I love this art. I love this author. I love that. Their drawings are so funny.
Yeah, it's interesting too because she draws herself as in this very like unrealistic way where she has really like stick arms with like three little fingers on each hand. And she's got sort of like these huge eyes and her ponytail is just this like yellow thing shooting off of her head. But then there's other characters in the book, like she'll have like her parents or people she runs into or her boyfriend who look more like real people. So it's really funny. She'll be like sitting on the couch with her boyfriend and her dogs and she's like this funny little creature. And then like the boyfriend kind of looks like a human. But it's an interesting book. I love both of them. I think I maybe liked the first one a little bit more, but I loved this one too. And I just like the way that she balances like talking about like serious things and like mental health issues or feelings of loneliness or loss.
But then it's also like, there's just moments where I was laughing out loud, which I don't often do when I read. But yeah, it's very interesting and fun read. I also like the back of the book. I had just noticed when we sat down to do the show. And it has this little part where it says, "This is a book. To answer any additional questions, you may have a brief Q&A with," I think it says with the author, because it got covered by a sticker. So I don't know. And then there's a little picture. It says, "Summary of information so far. Person, think, do, make, say, etc. Book is done. There are questions?" Person responds, "Yes, good." And then there's a Q&A here. So question, "Hello, why did you do this?" Answer, "Because I had some things I wanted to say, ideas and stuff. But you can't just say your ideas, so I did stories with my ideas secretly lurking inside them. Hopefully it was not too sneaky of me to do this. I promise they're real stories. It's just that some of my ideas are also secretly present, and everybody who reads the book will need to deal with that. I'm trying to be more assertive." Question, "You say you did this because you wanted to say things, but we noticed that you also drew 1,678 pictures. Answer, "Yes, not good pictures, but there are 1,678 of them." Question, "What are the pictures of?" Answer, "I don't like being this confrontational, but I'm not going to describe all of the pictures. That's why they're pictures, so I don't have to describe them." Question, "But how will people know what to expect if you don't describe the pictures?" Answer, "They just have to trust me." Question, "They can trust you?" Answer, "Yeah." Question, "Can you at least tell them a few things that are in the pictures? Like maybe put a list of objects or say what the average picture is of, or maybe what kind of picture the book would be if it was a picture?" Answer, "Lamp, dog, sun, walls, mom, dad, potato, universe, tragedy plus comedy equals time, ants, ed note, no answer depicted in the book, sun, time, two balloons, mom, cat, bag, computer, face, 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 mistake, the government, editor's note, the government is also not directly depicted in the book, man, sand, bird, ideas, stereo. Average picture is brown and squiggly with eyes. The book would be a picture of a book." Question, "That was very helpful, thank you." Answer, "No problem, glad I could help." So that gives you a sense of the book. I actually do think there were ants in the book.
What was that book called?
It's called Solutions and Other Problems by Ali Brosh. And it is a book intended for adults, but I think it's appropriate for, at the very least, teens. And I think it would be fine for other readers as well, as long as they're okay with the occasional curse word. But yeah, so that's what I just finished today on my day off. Woo! It's been on my to-read list since it came out. I finally got to it. And now I have to decide what to read next. I'm finishing an audiobook, but I have to figure out the next, like, print book to read. And I have a couple in mind, because I have Class Act, the new Jerry Craft, at home. I might do that next. Or I have that Tim Tingle book that I talked about last week, When a Ghost Talks, Listen. So I think one of those will be my next print book to read. Does anyone else have anything they're looking forward to reading?
I'm still looking forward to reading that book I got from my friend from Salem. Mm. I think that should be interesting to check out.
Yeah, the book with the really long title.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to just, like, check out When Stars Are Scattered. I really like autobiography, like, graphic novels and just, like, graphic novels in general. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, that was a really good book.
I'm probably going to have to go to the library and check one out. Or don't you guys have, like, a site online or something like that?
We do.
Or are we?
We have a.
Are we allowed to go in person?
Yeah, so you can both, like, come and browse at the library and pick out books. There's also ebooks that you can get online with your library card, and you can also. There's the online catalog that you can get to through our website that you can kind of look and see what's in there. Like, you can do a search for a subject or an author that you like, or a keyword.
Oh, okay.
Some new stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, pick out some new books. Great. Well, it was lovely talking books with you all again this week. Hope everyone out there listening has a wonderful week with lots of quality reading time. And we'll be back next week to talk about some more books. Until then, happy reading.
Bye.
Bye.
This is Tom Rowe in ACRA with the week in local news from WGXC's newsroom at WGXC.org. Click there for more information about any of these stories. And the biggest story of the week, of course, was the coronavirus outbreak and pandemic that has increased in cases to record numbers throughout the capital region and upper Hudson Valley.
The new explosion of cases in the coronavirus crisis. If you heard this, the U.S. reported a record-shattering number of new infections.
For the first time, all 50 states reported an increase in cases. Shocking 7-day averages in Kansas at 41%, Iowa at 48%, South Dakota at a astonishing 54%.
New restrictions are about to go into effect in New York State. Beginning tomorrow, all bars and restaurants must close for dining at 10 p.m. Gyms must also close at 10 p.m. And all private gatherings must be limited to 10 people or less.
Numbers that haven't been seen since May have returned as area hospitals are full, and there have been recent outbreaks and cases at local schools, in local businesses, at election sites, and in local restaurants. While the four biggest locations of coronavirus have been at the Green Correctional Facility in Coxsackie, at the nursing home in Ghent, and the other nursing home in Rensselaer County, and at the University of Albany. But even with the record number of cases higher than in the spring, government officials have taken almost no action to stop the spread of coronavirus. This month, Governor Andrew Cuomo announced that bars, restaurants, and gyms must close at 10 p.m. to in-person services. Albany Med stopped visitation this week, and Columbia Memorial and Hudson had stopped it on October 30th. And though Ichabod Crane and Hudson schools had cases this week, they took little action, while federal officials have taken no action recently to stop the spread of coronavirus. The other major story this week was the counting of ballots, as only about 80% of New York ballots were counted in the hours after the polls closed on November 3rd. About 20% were mail-in ballots still to be counted. Lawmakers in Albany talked about changing that the next election and having absentee counts start on election night. Amanda Fries is reporting for Capital Confidential that State Senate Deputy Majority Leader Michael Giannis November 10th announced legislation that would allow absentee ballots to be counted on election day. Currently, state election officials are unable to open and begin counting absentee ballots until a week after Election Day. But there is no good excuse for election results to continue to be up in the air weeks and months after people have already cast their votes, unquote, Giannis said in a news release. Quote, our Senate majority will continue to do the work of improving our election processes to ensure everyone has easy access to the ballot and election results are clear and timely, unquote. Under his proposal, the counting of absentee ballots would start 3 hours before polls close on Election Day or at 6 p.m. The ballot envelopes would be examined for validity at the time of their arrival to the local boards of election. Senator Dave Carlucci, Democrat of Rockland County, said, with absentee voting now more than 25% of the total vote, the state must update how mail-in ballots are handled and counted. Quote, the fact that we cannot call local races until weeks after Election Day is obscure and confusing to the public, unquote, he said. Quote, now we need a political interpreter to tell us who might have won and who has a chance, unquote. Read more about this story at Capital Confidential, a Times Union blog. Another story this week that affected many localities, including Queemans, Ravenna, New Baltimore, Coxsackie, Bethlehem, Voorheesville, Athens, and Catskill, was about the Champlain-Hudson Power Express transmission line. Sarah Trafton is reporting for Columbia Green Media that the Coxsackie Village Board November 9th granted access for the Champlain-Hudson Power Express. The project, proposed by Transmission Developers Incorporated, is a 333-mile underwater and underground electric transmission line that will carry 1,000 megawatts of renewable energy from Canada to New York City. The $3 billion infrastructure project will be privately funded. The transmission line will pass through the village of Coxsackie on Bailey Street at the railroad tracks, Mayor Mark Evans said. Quote, I believe they're going to bore it all, so the impact is even less overall, unquote, Evans said. The mayor also pointed out that both the village and the school district will gain some tax revenue from the project. Quote, it will be a very minimal impact, and we get some money from it, so that's even better, unquote, Evans said. The energy will not be distributed to the local community. Quote, we don't get anything here, unfortunately, unquote, he said. Quote, that's the only bad thing. The lines will transport hydroelectricity through several local municipalities, including Queemans, Ravenna, New Baltimore, Coxsackie, Bethlehem, Voorheesville, Athens, and Catskill. the project developers have received permits from the State Public Service Commission, U.S. Department of Energy, and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is expected to begin construction in 2021. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. And finally, some groups in Columbia County talked about partnering to work on the housing crisis that's been apparent in this area for a long time. Too many people are not able to afford housing locally anymore, and that's only been made worse by the coronavirus pandemic. Natasha Vaughn is reporting for Columbia Green Media that the Columbia County Department of Social Services has partnered with St. Catherine's Center for Children, the Legal Aid Society of Northeastern New York, and Columbia Green Continuum of Care to expand housing services and support for residents affected by COVID-19. The initiatives are funded through a $253,000 grant from New York State through the Office of Temporary and Disability Assistance. About 27.6% of Columbia County residents in Columbia County rent their home, according to a 2019 State Comptroller's Housing Affordability Report. The median rent in Columbia County is roughly $886 per month, and the median renter's income is just under $35,000. Quote, housing has been an issue for many, many years, and COVID has really just increased the threat people have around becoming homeless, unquote, Hudson Third Ward Supervisor Michael Comedia said. Quote, this is a collaborative response with multiple agencies in the county working together to try and address and ameliorate this problem, unquote. New York State imposed a moratorium on evictions in March, which prevents landlords and property owners from evicting tenants who have been impacted by COVID-19. The moratorium expires January 1st, meaning tenants can once again be evicted if they cannot pay their rent. The need for legal and housing assistance is expected to increase over the coming months. Quote, the economic impacts of COVID-19 have particularly impacted those at risk of homelessness and the working poor, Columbia County, unquote, Columbia County Social Services Commissioner Robert Gibson said. Quote, this program will help alleviate some of those stresses and keep people housed, unquote. Read more about this full story at HudsonValley360.com. Here's Ben Manley and the song Clark Dry Lake. Ben Manley performs Thursday, November 19th at 8 p.m. on WGXC, live from the Old Stone House in Park Slope, Brooklyn, part of the Musical Ecology series. Tune in to live music on the radio at WGXC Thursday, November 19th at 8 p.m. Ben Manley performs Sound Over Time and Space on the Musical Ecologies Performance Series live from the Old Stone House in Park Slope in Brooklyn, and on the radio from 8 to 10 p.m. at WGXC 90.7 FM and Wave Farm's Standing Wave Radio. Tune in to Ben Manley with Sound Over Time and Space, 8 o'clock, Thursday, November 19th on the radio at WGXC. WGXC has two new call-in shows on the air. Every Thursday night, Kevin Shea and Matt Motel take your calls at 518-622-2598 on Gig Talk about musicians struggling without gigs, with unemployment, with venues closing down, and more. Gig Talk, Thursday nights from 8 to 9 p.m. on WGXC. There's also Tech Talk, Mondays 7 to 8 p.m. on WGXC with Ralph Benko and Bill Collier, taking your calls at 518-622-2598 and 518-697-7400. Here's an excerpt from this week's Tech Talk with a caller's question about sine waves.
Good evening. You're listening to Tech Talk with Bill and Ralph, coming to you live from a secret location in the hinterland. You are listening to WGXC Radio 90.7 FM. Yes, we have Hank in Hastings, I think.
Oh, Hank from Hastings on Hudson. Welcome, Hank.
Hastings on Hudson. Bring it, Hank. Bring it to us.
Hello, how are you?
Good, good. Give us exactly what we deserve, Hank.
Oh, God, no, not that.
Give
Bill exactly what he deserves, but spare me.
Well, I'm, you know, because you often go into the lofty reaches of knowledge. I'm going to bring us very much down to earth because this is more of an engineering question, I guess.
Good.
But I have several power banks, and it's a line called Jackery. They're very good. And the bigger ones, you know, the ones that have more capacity, also say that they have a pure sine wave output. The smallest one has, I think, a modified sine wave output. And I have this vague impression, if I understood what I was reading, that the pure sine wave is better for electronics. But I wondered if either of you knows, does this apply to all electronics, or is it more for the higher life forms like laptops and iPads? And can I still, because what I'm still doing with my lowly iPhone, I'm charging that one on the modified sine wave power bank, and it seems to be working okay. I mean, I've not had a problem yet. But do you know anything about this? Do I have to worry about always using a pure sine wave?
Well, generally, the pure sine wave is better.